And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in today for our awesome conversation with Kevin Galloway from Uncle Lucius. For those of you that don't know who Uncle Lucius is, what have you been doing in the world of country music? Holy moly. I know they've been off for the last few years on a hiatus, but they are, to me, one of the quintessential red dirt Texas country bands to come out of there in, you know, God, forever. We sat down with Kevin, who is one of the founding members and the voice behind Uncle Lucius. But I think I got a sense that the rest of the band was also in the van. So the rest of the band, you know, if you don't know who they are, it's Drew Scherger. I probably screwed that up. I apologize. Doug Strahan, who is on guitar. Drew's on bass. We have Mike Carpenter, who's also the guitarist. Who else? We got Josh Greco is on drums, and then Kevin obviously on vocals, and John Grossman on tickling those ivories on the keyboard there. Great bunch of dudes. You know, even though it was just Kevin and I that sat down and chatted, you could really get a sense of the camaraderie that this band has, you know, in their reformed, you know, newly, you know, like we talk about, Uncle Lucius 2.0, more or less. And you'll hear a lot about that here coming up. But as we teased yesterday, we do also, at the end of this conversation, we have a little snippet for you of All the Angelinos, which is a song that's already been kind of leaked out there. There is a music video that has been premiered over the last few days, so go check it out. We are going to give you a little snippet here as well. It's actually one of my favorite songs on the album. We talk about the album quite a bit, like It's the Last One Left is the title of it. It comes out this Friday, February. Oh my God, December 8th. Holy crap, February. Where did February come from? December 8th. We will have a album review that will come out tomorrow at some point during the day. So take a look for that as well. We will tag everybody in that when it does hit the interwebs. So really, without further ado, guys, we had a great time, like I said, talking to Kevin, and there's a lot of information here that I think was a lot of fun to find out. You know, we go through what caused the hiatus and Yellowstone and now getting back together. You know, it's a whirlwind of a story, and it was a great one to have. So thank you again to Uncle Lucius for being on the show today. So without further ado, we will get out some commercials here, and we hope you enjoy the conversation. Also, if it is your first time here, welcome. We are kind of like a no-nonsense, shoot-the-shit kind of show, so it's not your typical interview, yes or no, what's your favorite baseball team kind of questions. And we kind of pride ourselves on that actually quite a bit. That's it, guys. You know, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, I'll say it again, I always say it all the time, but we're all about real people, real stories, real country, and you really get that here with this conversation we have with Kevin. So again, thank you. If you haven't already, go to our website, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com, all of our socials, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We thank you so much for being here. Without you, this show is nothing. Again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for letting us do this. And without further ado, some words from our sponsors in our conversation with Uncle Lucius. We hope you enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning and coming on and shooting the breeze with us.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This, you know, like I said to my text, this is kind of like a huge honor. I've been a fan of yours and the band's for, God, since before I even started getting into this podcasting thing. So thanks for being here, man.
Man, thank you. That means a lot, man.
So, like I said to you, this is kind of about you, man. Like, how you guys get started. I mean, anybody that's listening probably knows, but for those that, you know, maybe are discovering you again or for the first time, you know, how does Uncle Lucius come to be?
Uncle Lucius came to be in a simultaneous dream, kind of like the one we're having right now, man. No.
Yeah.
That's part of a long story. When people ask me how the name came up, I made up this long story about a dream the whole band had while on the road. We were the Kevin Galloway band. It would, because I started a band, my first band, 28 years old after I'd moved to Austin after quitting my job as a banker. And it was the Kevin Galloway band. And I realized I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be a band. So the guys I was with, we said, we're going to start a band. And we had lists and lists of names, and we were trying to think of a name for it. And so Uncle Lucius came up, but when people asked me, how did that come up? I would tell them we were all on the road as the Kevin Galloway band and did a long show and partied all night and woke up the next morning, got in the van, and I was telling the guys, I had this dream and I was in this swamp and there was this wizard, is the best way I can describe him. And he walked up out of the swamp, like he just popped up out of the water and walked towards me. And he had this ball of light and he's trying to impart it to me. And the only thing I could remember is his name was Lucius. And then one of the other guys in the band said, man, I had that same dream. And three of us in the band had the same dream that night. So we knew that was our Uncle Lucius.
That's awesome.
So that's the myth out there.
All right.
In the beginning, when people asked me that, I told that story and then I didn't say anything else and just kind of let it be out there, kind of creating something. But the real story is kind of like that. We were looking for a name. We got invited to a dinner with a friend of ours, the whole band, kind of these scruffy looking guys with this really nice family and their extended family in a nice house, a really nice dinner. And they're all talking about their grandpa, who's from South Louisiana, and his name was Lucius. And he was an eccentric Mark Twain type character. And we just kind of glommed onto that, and we didn't want to be grandpa, but uncle felt like family, so it became Uncle Lucius.
That's cool.
Yeah, man.
That's really cool. So when you're the Kevin Galloway band, right? How much has changed from that band to what you guys are now?
Yeah, it's morphed quite a bit. The first musician. One of the first musician friends I made was a guy named Hal Vorpahl there in Austin. We were roommates in a house, and he played bass, I think, and he kind of fronted a hard rock trio. But he's an amazing songwriter, and we were fast friends because we had East Texas ties. We'd lived there previously. And anyway, he convinced me, man, you need to start a band. And I was doing open mics and he said, man, the next step is you got to put some people together. So he and I founded the thing and he was there to help me get the thing going. And then we started Uncle Lucius. And all the other players are different from that first go around. When it became Uncle Lucius, we had our current drummer and our current guitar player, Josh Greco and Mike Carpenter were in the band when we, began to name it Uncle Lucius. And so there are four of us left because Hal dropped out a couple years ago. He didn't like to be on the road. So there are four original members. and we have a new bass player, a keys player, who we added years ago. We met him in Kentucky, and he just he jumped on the bandwagon and moved to Austin because I convinced him to join the band and move there. He had nothing else to do. So we have, since we were always a five-piece, four, then five, and then now we are six-piece with the restart here. This year we added another guitar player to kind of open up the sound, a guy named Doug Strahan. So four original members, a little bit of changes, and now we're six strong. It's a six-headed beast.
Nice. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, right, about you guys and, you know, how, you know, your popularity before your hiatus and, you know, with this new album coming out that, you know, we've been fortunate enough to be living with for the last month or so, which is by far one of the best albums I've listened to this year. But we'll get to that. So when you guys, the last album came out 8 years ago, right? It's been 8 years now.
Yeah. 2015, the last one came out.
So between 2015 and now, right, we know that Uncle Lucius has been on a 5-year hiatus, right? But there was 3 years there after the album came out in 2015 that you guys were still doing stuff and on the road. What led to, you know, you guys saying, all right, fuck it, we're done for now, or whatever the case, whatever the conversation was?
Yeah, so 2015 we put out, the last time we put out, called The Light, and you know, got in the van and pulling the trailer, touring the country, going over to Europe to promote it, and we were into our fifth Ford Econoline van by then. In that whole run, we started in late 2005, early 2006 with the whole thing. So, you know, over a decade in, thinking about it, doing the thing, a little bit of burnout, a little bit of, okay, this thing has become, you have to be on the road to keep the ball rolling. You have to be gone all the time, which made us a great band, especially live, I think. But, you know, that and then 100 other reasons, honestly. It was just the time to sit back and rethink and reconfigure. And so I made the decision that I wanted to step away from it. And it took me a long time to come to it. I was dealing with stress and things, and I finally stepped away after being on the road so much. And I was newly married. I had a child, and then I had another one on the way, and it really makes you think. And so I thought about it for a while, and then I finally let the guys know, I'm stepping away. We're going to end Uncle Lucius. It was a good run. And this was 7 months before the planned finish date. So we said, let's go out with a bang. And we booked a bunch of great shows. And the last two shows were at Green Hall here in Texas, this amazing old school dance hall. And it was like the culmination of 13 years, the highs and lows in that night. It was amazing. And yeah, we dropped the mic and walked away. We never thought it would happen again. That was it. We were just, we'd accepted it.
Right. So
there it was.
Now, what was the date of that show?
That was, it was March of 2018. And forgive me, I don't recall. I want to say like the 23rd and 24th, something in the, you know, mid to late March.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. Because you know, we talk about it a lot on this show because it just so happens that we've been, you know, fortunate enough to be talking to bands and artists that have been bit by the Yellowstone bug. And I ask about that last show because, you know, in July of that year, you're featured on Yellowstone and, you know, your music blows up again, you know, with, you know, Keep the Wolves Away is featured at the end of episode 4 of the first season. And, you know, it skyrockets. So, you know, in that moment, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's quite a bit of a surprise. I didn't even know what Yellowstone was. and got some congratulatory texts and Facebook instant messages like, oh my God, congratulations, you're on Yellowstone. And I'm like, you know, I've never been to Yellowstone. I'm definitely not on it right now. What are you talking about? And then, you know, I looked into it and found out it's the number one most watched television show in the United States at the time. Like, what? So, of course, I looked into it. And I thought that was amazing. I mean, it was interesting how they used it in the scene, and that's okay. But, man, I had no idea, especially at the time.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, DCUCenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, DCUCenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
It took a little bit of time to really realize what that meant, how many new ears were hearing that song.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is, you know, we have a video for it on YouTube that on its own had been growing, and, you know, like the algorithm had taken it. And my favorite set of numbers in math is the Fibonacci sequence. And it had been growing like that a little more slowly, but it had a few million views. And it tells the story. So that on top of the Yellowstone, and then they worked together, and then it just took off. And I mean, so much that a few months in, we started inquiring, like, I mean, they count streams and YouTube plays in aggregate towards sales now to, you know, do the numbers. And so I was thinking, man, that's a lot of views and a lot of spins. Let's inquire about this. And it opened up a whole can of worms because we were able to inquire about it. And took a while to audit it, of course, and come back. But it really was. It had sold 500,000, which is equivalent to a gold record.
Damn.
And so it was 3 years after we retired, we had a gold record. And then soon after, it became platinum because it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So when we had the gold record, it began the discussion amongst us, first the celebration and then the discussion of like, should we do this again? The iron's pretty hot.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you don't jump back into it, right? Right. In, you know, in 2018 at the end of it. And, you know, up until, I mean, it was about this time last year where you guys announced that you're getting back together and putting out an album.
Yeah. We definitely didn't jump into it. Like I said, it took a couple of years for it to come out that we,
that's okay.
That it was growing and, you know, I was off, we were all off doing our own other things. I was doing solo stuff. I put out two albums on my own during that, what we call the hiatus now. And I was playing a lot of solo shows and raising kids. And for the first couple of years, didn't even think about the Uncle Lucius coming back. I was just thankful, like, oh, this is very cool. This is awesome. That, you know, it's finally getting a little mailbox money. How about, I didn't even know that it even existed. That's cool. And, but then when it hit gold, like, because I wrote the song and it's so close to me, it's a true story about my family. My dad went through a thing when I was a teenager. So because it had hit so much and it was that song, I invited all the guys. I'm like, man, I'm buying y'all some steaks. I hadn't seen y'all in a couple years. Let's just celebrate this thing we did, because obviously because of them, the way that was recorded and everything, it is what it is. So I felt I wanted to thank them all for that. And then the discussion came up then, like, maybe we should do this. We all like each other. We all kind of love doing this thing. We're not too tied to the other thing that we're doing. Let's think about this. And then maybe 6 months later, we had another conversation and said, okay, we can all, let's do this. So 3.5 years after we quit, we said, let's do it again. So we planned it out to come back this way.
Nice.
Yeah.
So why so much time? You know, if you guys are talking, you know, 3.5 years later, why, you know, what, a year and a half now later from that, you know, I guess getting back together, why so much time in between that point and a new album?
Well, we all had other things we were doing, and so when you're in this industry and this and you're doing things, you plan pretty far out.
Yeah.
So we had to make sure all the loose ends were tied. Also, interesting side note, Mike Carpenter, our guitar player, had begun a job as an electrician, and he was training as an electrician, so he had to go through all of this training. It was going to be a little bit longer, actually. We weren't going to put this album out right now. It was going to be a little longer because we were going to let him finish all the training he'd gone through to get his electrician's license. And we talked about this. And the funny thing is, it's funny now, that he got fired from that job like a couple of weeks after we had that steak dinner. And he told us, like, I need to wait this long. He got fired because he couldn't bend pipe correctly. And so he came back. He's like, when can we start?
Damn. That's funny. So when you guys decide to get all back together, are you guys, you know, kind of, are you playing shows? Are you kind of doing it on the DL? Are you just, you know, practicing together? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah, so forgive me. I sometimes forget some things in linear time because I'm,
that's so all right.
These days and have kids, but
me too, man. I have three boys, and two boys are 4 years apart and 3 days apart.
Oh my!
So I can never remember which one's born on the 25th of October and which one's born on the 28th. So
fantastic!
I get it, man.
All right, you empathize. I can dig it.
Yeah.
Sorry, go back. What was the question?
when you guys decide to, you know, get, you know, start doing this thing and, you know, do a new album, you know, are you guys, you know, out there playing gigs without people knowing, who, you know, without really announcing it and just kind of like showing up somewhere and being like, hey, we're going to play, or are gotcha. You just practicing?
No. So, like I said, everyone else is doing their own other thing. So I'm doing my solo thing. The other guys are playing with other bands, doing their own things, being electricians. So we just started to rehearse quite a bit together.
Yeah.
We started getting in the room together again. And then we started talking to Hal, the first bass player, the guy who co-founded Uncle Lucius with me back in the day, because he'd produced my two solo albums and been doing some producing as well with other artists. And he's a prolific songwriter. And I've always loved his songwriting. And from the time that he quit the band and now, he is just grown incrementally as a songwriter. It's just amazing. So he had this whole stash of songs, and he had full demos made out, you know, on his computer with instrumentation, and he had all these songs and he was throwing to me, and I was, anyone that I felt, just felt, I wouldn't even listen to the lyrics, I just wanted to feel it. If I liked it, we'd put it in the stash, like, hey, let's try this one. And so we're doing that, and we're doing solo things, and so we meet every once in a while. And then we start rehearsing. I think we rehearsed for, I think it was 6 months of rehearsals before we decided to get back at this thing. We were knocking the dust off the old songs, deciding which ones maybe we'll never play that one again. And then we're learning these new songs. And then I bring a couple to the table, and then we're putting our touches on them. We add this guitar player, and we have Hal is actually playing bass with us this whole time in the rehearsal, getting ready for the studio. He even played bass on the first couple of songs in the studio. And then he told us for sure he's not coming on the road. We kind of thought that. And we added another bass player. But it's a cool story on that. I'll touch on that later.
Yeah. So, I was going to ask you that because, you know, like I said, I've been sitting with these 10 songs now for, God, it feels like a lifetime because I've listened to it. I've listened through this album at least once a week since I got it.
Awesome.
And it is, you know, I think for the people that are used to the old Uncle Lucius, you know, forgive me for the terminology, but, you know, this album is very reminiscent of what's already been done. You know, it's not a copy by any any stretch of the imagination, but it's, you know, if you're an old fan from, you know, 5 years ago, this album feels like home.
Excellent.
So these songs, these 10 songs, they've been around. Were they around, or are they just around but new to us kind of deal?
Yeah, they've not been around. These are all new songs, written post Uncle Lucius 1.0.
Yeah.
Like I said, we tried out a lot of house songs because he had so many, and we actually recorded 7 of his songs on there. Yeah, I think 7 of the 10 songs are his. So they're all new songs. Nobody's ever recorded them. Here's the other thing. I've always loved house songs, and I think of myself as a vocalist first. I'm a songwriter. I'm trying to work, you know, like my guitar playing, my songwriting up to the point of my being a vocalist, but I've just been doing that the longest. And yeah. So I love to be able to celebrate songs and put my stink on somebody else's song. You know what I mean? Like my thing on it. And Hal is like a brother to me. So it's really natural to take his version of it and try to keep it as close to the original. But also he says, man, be free to be you on it. And he let me. And it's cool because these are the first times these songs I've ever really been brought into the light of day. And I think they're amazing songs. And it's about celebrating them. It's I'm saying this a lot these days, and I'm not comparing myself to these guys, but these are some of my heroes, like Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson. We did a whole album of Kris Kristofferson songs because Kris Kristofferson is such an amazing songwriter, but he's also his buddy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Hal's my Kristofferson.
Damn. You know, it's funny you mention your voice, because I agree wholeheartedly with that. You know, your voice is haunting, and I don't mean that in like a bad way, you know, but it's chilling the way you sing these songs and tell these stories that you have in these songs. And, you know, anybody that's a fan, or maybe even people that are just, you know, fans of the type of genre that comes out of East Texas, you know, people know that, oh, that's Kevin Galloway's voice, you know. They might not even realize that they're listening to Uncle Lucius, but they know your voice when it's heard. You know, most of the bands that are coming out of your area, you know, the front man has the most distinguished sound that, you know, it's wild. It's really wild what's coming out of, you know, East Texas and the bands, and, you know, how similar and how different you all are. In all, you know, if you're a fan of Uncle Lucius, you're a fan of the rest of them, and vice versa. You know, it's awesome to see that. You know, it's awesome to hear that, where, you know, you're so distinct that it's just known. It's like, oh, this is, you know, it's Kevin's voice. Like, you just know.
Right on. Well, thank you for that. Thank you.
I meant that as a total compliment.
It's hard for me to take a compliment, so I'm just saying thank you.
you're welcome. No problem. Like, it's just, you know, it's, you know, there's artists out there and there's bands out there that it's, you know, it's all the same. But when you have a front man, like, you know, again, I'm not kissing.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint, our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
Your ass because you're on here. I've said this before to other people. You know, it's just, it's nice to hear, you know, a storyteller with a soul and with a purpose to tell their stories.
Man, I appreciate that. I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it took me a long time to realize what it was I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And once I realized, I made the jump, and I decided to never turn back. And I would suggest that for anybody who's listening. If you really know what you're supposed to be doing, just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So now with this album coming out, you know, we're talking the week before the album's released, but we're going to, this episode's coming out the week the album comes out. So with this new collection of songs, you know, you guys have released a couple. Do you have a favorite song on the album that hasn't been released yet?
It's tough. Right now, it's a tie between two songs for different reasons. Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, you get through when you put this out. We got our own label, you know, but we're doing this where we're, you know, pitching some singles and everything like you do in this business. And it takes a lot of heads to figure out what the single is sometimes.
Yeah.
And then there's the reasons why a single might work or not at a certain place, which is beyond me. But so there are singles in here that I love, but I think there are songs on here that are more like album songs that will never be good at radio. And I'm kind of proud of that, that are,
yeah, hell yeah,
are some of my favorites on this.
Nice.
One that pops up is I'm Happy.
Yep.
It's one you got to put the headphones on and really listen to what's going on. It gets weird and there's some interesting, I even yodel in the background on that one. And there's some interesting sounding accordion, and it's just a cool song that Hal wrote. And let me really, it's different. It's it'll fool you. You think it's a waltz, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I thought that too, when I got to I'm Happy, you know, the first time I was like, wow, this is different. It's interesting. There's a lot going on, like you said. Like, it took me a couple of, you know, runs through it to, like, really, like, hear kind of everything that was going on and the, you know, the different sounds and the different little nuances and everything. It was like, wow, this is something you don't hear or see every day, especially in an album.
Heck yeah. Good.
Yeah, I also really loved, I liked the back half of the album the most. The last five songs to me, you know, they're all great, right? But the last five were like, you know, kind of like soul sucking in a very good way. It was like, damn, these hit heavy. You know, like Loving Kind, Holy Roller, you know, and the way you guys end it with Heart Over Mind, it was just like, holy shit. You know, yes. but you know, and I loved how you guys threw in, you know, and I'm probably giving a ton away here, but you know, you know, with Draw the Line, you know, it's a guitar solo, more or less. You know, it's a beautiful guitar piece that, you know, just kind of comes out of nowhere. You know, and I'm not gonna lie, the first time I listened to it, I was like, this guitar piece is fantastic. What's coming next? What's the song? What's the lyrics gonna be? And then Trace My Soul starts, and I was like, what happened? Like, I thought it was like, did I get screwed out of a song? Or, you know, it's absolutely beautiful.
I'm loving hearing this because, man, we're all about this, and Hal and I have always been about this. We like making albums, and I mean, people are still making albums, but they're not really making albums like they used to, where it's a whole, the thing goes together. And man, I love making set lists and making my set lists in order, you know, and like really thinking about how it's going to hit. And so I got to, you know, we all got input on how this should go in order, but this was a real big thing. And the order of this was very important and very intentional.
Yeah.
And I'm loving to hear that you're saying this, because that was all the intention, is to make it hit like that. There's a little aside with that song, Heart Over Mind. That song was written while we were still in the studio. I wrote it. I had that melody forever, and I wrote it and finished it while we were still in the studio. And then, because we kind of pieced it together. I'm sorry. When we were first starting to do the demos in the studio. And so we finished it, and Hal put a very cool instrumental thing together with his computer, like done all the instrumentation and everything. And we had it, and we went and recorded it. But then I went on the road solo again, finishing up some solo stuff, and I wasn't there when the string section was put on it. We had to, you know, make an appointment with them to come at a certain time when I was out of town. So somebody wrote the string part and put it on it, And I had scratch vocals on it, and I knew I wanted to sing it differently. So I had some time in the studio to come back and sing on it. And I had not heard the string part yet. And so when I'm in the studio getting ready to sing, I'm like, let me just hear it before I go in there. And I hear it, and man, it floors me because it's so good and it takes the song to another level.
Yeah.
It's really emotional. The song's emotional anyway, but the emotions of the strings like overcame me. And it was like, I went in with that new surprise and sang that. And so that's what comes out in the final take on my vocal. And I'm just so thankful, man, the strings are amazing on it.
You know, and like, I've got it in front of me, right? On my desktop while we're talking. And, you know, after hearing, you know, your story and how, you know, the last few years have kind of come and gone and this album, you know, these, and you saying how, you know, how these songs are in order for the way they are, the beginning and the end of this is like the book notes of, you know, the last few years, it sounds like. You know, and everything you wanted, maybe, and I could be talking out of turn. I don't know what you're thinking, right? But it's almost like, you know, like you've kind of teased about and, you know, said where this is Uncle Lucius 2.0, where, you know, the last few years, you know, we keep singing along, you know, is we're going to kick it off with that. And at the end, we're going to close it out with Heart Over Mind, where it's, you know, those two songs encompass almost everything we're talking about here.
So you're not wrong in that, but our intention was not that specifically with those lyrics. It's more about the feel of the whole thing as a piece.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I'm a big fan of this because I think this is what happens. Maybe in hindsight, it comes out that way, and it's even a subconscious thing. You're not even intending it, but because you're in this headspace, it kind of lines up how it should. And you can see it in hindsight, you know?
Right. Sure.
Yeah. It's all open for interpretation once it's out there. So nothing is wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I think that's the beauty. That's the beauty of music. You know, it's, you know, what you intended on one song. And if somebody hears it a totally different way, like, you know, at the end of the day, as a songwriter, does it matter to you? You know,
that's right. It means it's hitting somewhere, and it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's as many people as there are in the world, as how many opinions are of it. So it's all going to be a little bit different and a little skewed, but all the same, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, one more thing about the album, so we're not talking about it to death and now people have to eagerly wait 2 days because this is going to come out Wednesday of the week it's released. How does the album title come?
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. Cheers.
Come about, like it's the last one left. Is that kind of like a, you know, this could be the last one? Or is it like, if it is, that's okay.
You know what? I think all of life is like that, right?
We're
not promised tomorrow, so you stay in the moment and do it with everything you have. Give it all the vigor you got.
Yeah, man.
Hope for the best. But, you know, that's a lyric in one of the songs.
Yeah.
On that song, I'm happy. I take a breath like it's the last one left.
Yeah.
And I love that lyric, and just it kind of hit for, I think it was Doug, the guitar player. I think when he heard that, he's like, oh, that'd be a good album title. And then we like, oh, that would be a good album title. And which is kind of on the back burner. We were in the studio, and then when it came time to name it and everything, that was one on the list, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I know how long I've had this album, right? So when did you guys finish everything, tighten it up, call it a day, submit it?
Oh, that's good. Here we go again with linear time.
I know, right? Sorry. No, it's okay. How long ago does it feel?
It feels like 5 years ago. No.
Yeah.
So it's, goodness. We finished it up early spring of this year, late winter, early spring, I want to say. You know what? Sorry. I recall we did all the recording in April or so. And then we, you know, we're putting on the finishing touches, and then the string section came in, did the last thing, and then I came in and did the vocal, and that was in June, because I had been on the road and came back. So it was all tightened up then, and I think we had it mastered early July, and off to the races.
Nice. Yeah, because, you know, I got it on October 19th, and, you know, like I said, it's been spinning since then, so I feel like, you know, I feel like I know this album inside and out at this point, and it's just made writing the review that much easier.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so there'll be a review to come, too, on Friday when the album's released, so I don't give too much away before it comes out for the general public. But, you know, again, I can't thank you enough, man, for this album, for your music, for you taking the time. It's, you know, I know you've got a busy schedule these couple of weeks with this coming out, so I thank you so much for, you know, chiseling out some time. I know you're on the road this weekend, I think, right? You're in Colorado tomorrow as we're talking. And, you know, really all weekend, Colorado all weekend.
That's right. We're driving 7 hours today to get halfway and still be in Texas and sleep overnight and get to Denver the next day.
I can't believe that. You know, I'm from Massachusetts, right? I live in Massachusetts. And if I were to drive 7 hours right now, I'd be just outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know, that's wild to me.
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course. Now, are you still in the Austin area?
No, I live a couple hours outside of town. I'm in the Bryan College Station area.
Oh, okay, cool.
Brazos River Valley. Yeah.
Nice. Now, are all the rest of the band in the, you know, same general area, or is everybody kind of all over the place?
Most everybody's in Austin still, and then one of the guys is in San Antonio, just, you know, south of Austin.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself back over there. I'm probably gonna be moving there a couple of years back, closer to Austin. We'll see.
Nice. Well, Kev, I hope you guys have a safe rest of your journey. Again, I thank you so much for being here. You know, and tell the guys thank you as well for me. And I hope the shows this weekend in Colorado go well. And by the time we put this out, I'm sure they went great.
Jim, thank you so much. I highly appreciate you taking the time. And
no problem, Kev. Now, I do have two questions. I know I told you I had no questions, but it's kind of like a tradition. It's become a tradition. Because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, I have to ask about your boots and your whiskey of choice.
Oh, fantastic. So if I wore boots...
Wait a minute, you don't wear boots? You're a Texan that doesn't wear boots?
Man, whoa, with the stereotypes and everything, right?
I know, that's shit, right? Wow.
No, I do own a pair of Lucchese, and I've worn them. I mean, when I rode horses as a teenager, I wore boots. That's what boots are for you know, the saddle. But boots are hard for me because I've had some back problems.
And okay.
I'm more flat shoes, so I wear Jordans. I wear some flat Jordans.
Nice.
And but I have a pair of Lucchese's. If it's nice, I'll wear them. And then whiskey. So my favorite these days, and it has been for a bit, is Redbreast Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, they have all the different ones. They have 12, 18, 21. They have cask and everything. But the 12 is just solid to me. And it's a good one to sip.
Yeah.
To sit with it. It's solid. So Redbreast Irish whiskey.
Well, you guys are going to be out in Colorado this weekend. So when you're out there, you know, I'm not the biggest bourbon fan in the world. I like it, but it's, you know, it's become an acquired taste. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because we have a partnership with them, but there's a distillery out there called 10th Mountain out in Vail. And their bourbon is fantastic.
Okay. 10th Mountain, you said?
Yeah. 10th Mountain Whiskey Company.
Okay.
Forgive me.
you asked about a bourbon, and then I answered with an Irish whiskey.
I know. My bad. That's totally fine. Because I wouldn't have thought to be, you know, even think of bourbon. But, you know, you being out in Colorado this weekend, you know, if you get 10 minutes or whatever and you can and see it or find it, give it a try because it's worth it.
Thank you very much. I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, you know, well, Kev, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, enjoy your weekend. And we look forward to seeing the reception of the album this week. And congratulations on everything. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, man. Take care of you.
You too.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com at tipsymusic on all socials. Long live live music.
And as promised, here is a little snippet of All the Angelinos, which is on the album Like It's the Last One Left, which is due out Friday, this coming Friday, December, not February 8th. Enjoy.
All the Angelinos, all the Angelinos, they're moving down to Texas. Yeah, they're moving down to Texas. All the Angelinos, all the Angelinos, they're moving down to Texas. Yeah, they're moving down to Texas.
Well, usually this is the point where I thank everybody again, but seeing we put in a little music there, and this being the first album in 8 years, really, for Uncle Lucius, if that snippet and the songs that have already been released do not get you excited for this album that's about to drop, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you, honestly. Like, truly, madly, deeply, I do not know what is wrong, because this album, trust me, it's been worth the wait. Okay, it's been worth the wait. So again, Kevin, the rest of the band, Uncle Lucius, thank you so much for everything, your hospitality, everything. You guys are a fantastic group of guys. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for letting us be a part of your version 2.0 kickoff here. So I hope you all enjoyed our conversation here with them. We do have another episode coming out on Friday with Johnny Daly. And then next week we have another three-peat week. We're going to have three episodes released every week now from now until the end of time. It feels like now, till the rest of the year. I think the last week of December, we might actually give you an episode a day. I know it's a lot, but yeah, why not? End the year with a week long of the Boots and Whiskey podcast. We got some great episodes in there coming for you. So don't be alarmed. And yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tomorrow night we will be at Bert Kreischer here at the DCU Center in Worcester. Congratulations to Tammy Duria, who is our winner when we picked that out on Monday. Congratulations to them. They have won a pair of tickets to Bert Kreischer as well as dinner with us before the show. So, you know, if there's things coming out and you're in the area, you know, take a look. You never know what you could win. So thank you again, everybody. Remember, Boots and Whiskey Podcast on all socials. Bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is our website. You know, like I said at the beginning of the show, guys, all of our conversations here, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you guys so much for being here. Until Friday, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, y'all. Good night.